you need metal?
Yes. Can you guys play any modern power metal?
You need metal!
Hey, baby. Y'all play any meow rock?
I'm Mike Tough, and I'm Jay Priest, and if you're in need of some actual metal, then be sure to check in on Mondays from 6 to 9 for Dark Recollections, only on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station that is...
Making waves!
If you want to know what's going on around town, tune in to the Motor Calendar on WHFR 4 to 5 every Thursday. We encourage you to get out and support live music. You'll learn where local bands are playing and what they sound like. That's the Motor Calendar every Thursday 4 to 5 on the station making waves.
Men, make sure you're around for your families. Get the test you need at the doctor. Disease can be detected early and treated. For a list of medical tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Attention HFCC students and guests. The Skylab Cafe is your on-campus solution for a delicious and affordable meal. The Skylab Cafe offers several lunch and dinner options, including vegetarian and halal choices. The Skylab Cafe is located in the Student Center building on HFCC's main campus and is open for your convenience from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Friday. When you're on campus, be sure to check out the Skylab Cafe.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford Community College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. And our guest today is Suzanne Taylor. Suzanne is an actress, a fine arts, a post-impressionist painter, and the producer and director of the award-winning documentaries What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery and Crop Circle's Quest for Truth. After relentless study of the crop circle phenomenon, she believes that they could be instrumental in the consciousness awakening of humankind. And here to tell about her research and her videos is Susan Taylor. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, waking up the world.
Yes, the conscious
my
awakening.
My little soapbox, yeah.
Well, you turned your soapbox into videos and
Indeed, that is my soapbox, right.
Okay. And how is
it? It gives me my platform, you know, from which people ask me the kind of questions I like to talk about, which is, you know, how are we going to save this world? So.
All right. Well, what first got you started? You were an actress at first, and now you've gone into producing, directing, and tell our listeners how you first got involved in the crop circle phenomenon.
Well, you know, I'm not a filmmaker who found a subject. I'm a subject that said, oh, my God, we've got to have film about this, because how do you tell the world anything? You make a film. And I was very plugged in to that phenomenon and very aware that there was no way to explain it, that it just didn't pass muster as being done by people. That meant that there was other intelligence in the universe, and if humanity understood that, everything would change. But what I was really interested in was that change, because I was really aware, as we all are now, that things don't work. And some years ago, it was much more passive and, you know, Ozzie and Harriet and whatever. But I was always aware, wait a minute, this isn't the way we need to be thinking for long-range sustainability, for a world where things are equitable, where we don't make war, you know?
Mm.
I always had this high social consciousness.
Mm.
And now, at least everybody knows we're in trouble now.
Oh.
And, you know, I was doing all sorts of efforts to, you know, wake people up, so to speak, wake myself up, become more aware. And then the crop circles just landed in my lap, just quite accidentally, as another thing that looked interesting. And I thought, oh, wow, they say we're not making those. If we're not making them, that means there is other intelligence out there that is making them, and that would change everything. So over the years, that was in the late 80s that I first discovered the circles, and I was still, you know, making all sorts of other events happen. My house is a kind of a gathering place for radical, progressive thinking in Los Angeles. And
Wait a minute. I thought Los Angeles was the capital of radical progressive thinking.
Well, they say that now, don't they?
Yes, they do.
But I don't know. My house was more radical than the radicals,
Oh, no.
They say that everything starts in all the wild things start in Los Angeles. But in truth, I really have had this kind of hotbed here where, because, you know, we're not very good at community. We still aren't. We're individualists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't come together really well in progressive kind of thinking. And so my house was the place where you always knew that something interesting was going on. Everybody wanted to be on my guest list here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the circles became just one of the subject matters. But the more I learned about them, the more I thought, whoa, this is a big game changer. And all the other kinds of self-development, self-help, spiritual things about, you know, all the things we need to be smarter about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was the one that could change mass consciousness. Everybody in the universe would have to think again about what is it to be a human being, what are we doing here, if we knew, not science fiction, but if it were established that there is other intelligence engaging with us. Whoa, for real, whoa. So, you know, when I became convinced that that was what was going on, then most of my energy went to what am I going to do about it. And actually, I started a long time ago to look for a filmmaker. You can't just go to any old filmmaker and say, will you make a film about crop circles? Huh? So I kind of find somebody who already was interested, and somebody came along who had a girlfriend who was a crop circle person. And when he went to England for the first time, he came back and said, I got to make a movie. And somebody knew he was out there. Somebody knew I was out there. Put us together. And that was how the first movie came about, Crop Circles Quest for Truth.
Who was this other person, may I ask?
Well, the person who connected the filmmaker is William Gazecki. He did Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 7 years ago, maybe. Don't know exactly how many, but that was a hugely success. He had got an Academy Award nomination for that documentary.
Oh, yeah, about Waco, Texas.
Yep, Until Michael Moore came along, that was the fifth most popular documentary ever. And now, you know, the Penguins and Michael Moore, they've kind of eclipsed it. But that was really, an outstanding thing. And so when he wanted to make a film about crop circles, I thought, oh, yes. And I became the executive producer. I raised the money. I knew the subject better than he did. So when we went over to England to shoot, I was running the shoot. I was telling, him where to go, to who to talk to, what was interesting. And
So he knew filmmaking, you knew crop circles,
exactly.
And you got along real well.
Yes and no. We ended up in court. We didn't get along all that well. But
ouch.
That's another story.
Okay.
That film actually brought a lot of the people who are currently the big, authorities on the circles, a lot of them came into the field because they had seen that movie and it intrigued them. So the movie, did accomplish a lot. But when that movie was finished, it was not really the movie I had in mind, even though it did its job, and it was 3 years on the Sci-Fi Channel after it ran in movie theaters, and people liked the movie a lot. It taught them, really opened their eyes about the circles. But I wanted to do something more dealing in a personal way with these people. Very, very successful people who, when they discovered the circles, they kind of left their old lives. I mean, a professor of architecture at USC is in the heart of this. He's not doing that anymore. He's doing crop circles,
Really?
Very reputable people, very, very intelligent and upstanding people have really revolutionized their lives, just like in Close Encounters, I've got to get there, So they become just like me. When you really discover what the truth of the situation is, it's so really astonishing.
What could be so powerful to make a professor or anybody with a successful career, yourself included, put it all aside and go looking at crop circles?
Well, the evidence that indeed it is coming from another intelligence. And, that fact would change our whole reality. The last time we had something as revolutionary as that was when Galileo and Copernicus, the other way around, Copernicus and Galileo, took Earth out of the center of the universe. It took us out of being the big cheese in the universe as a planet. And we've moved since then from a time when we had kings and serfs. That's what big cheeses are. They're kings, Well, we don't do that anymore. We got democracy now, more or less. and now this is another kind of repositioning where we're the big cheese intelligence. We're the only ones to our definitive knowledge. But if we definitively knew we weren't, that would be another leveling. And wouldn't it be good for us to be humble, not be so arrogant, not pursue materialism the way we do, as if, we're the only things around and the rich get richer and it's all about getting rich? No, that's the wrong ideals, So rethinking our perspective, our worldview is what the word I like best, is really what we need to do to have the best chance for, survival at this point, but to deal with all the problems are held in place by this materialistic world. And if we were a more compassionate world where we cared about each other and not just being the richest ones around, we would do things differently. So it's all of that that's, got, why did I change everything? That's why I'm so focused on it, because I see the potential change that it could bring about, and we really need that.
I think we were talking about this notion that we are the only ones in the universe. I think that's just another way of saying we are the center of the universe.
Exactly.
So everything revolves around us.
Right. It'd be very good for us not to see it that way. Very, very good for us. I mean, isn't it ridiculous, this rampant, what is the spread now between the people who, the hourly wage and the executives, whatever it is, it's so absurd.
I wouldn't call it a spread, a spread is like $1 or $2 an hour.
No, whatever it is, a cavern,
yeah.
A chasm.
Right, it's a chasm, yeah, the
but
abyss.
The world can't run that way. I mean, what are all those people doing with all that money? Who needs that much money? It's ridiculous.
I know. I know it is. But you can't tell them that.
Well, a lot of them you can. You know, there are movements afoot. Mm. Well, just like we've seen Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and
Warren Buffett, and
Ted Turner. I mean, that's fabulous that they're saying, well, no, this is not it. We're not here just to amass more and more and more. You know, now they're giving back to the world. They're giving it up or turning it over.
Yeah.
As well, all those people at the way top should be doing.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are now, but certainly it's not the prevailing intelligence, you know. But that's the kind of stuff we need to really, and everybody knows that, too. Isn't it really weird that in the election you vote for these people that don't want to tax the rich? I just don't get it. I mean, that is so bizarre.
Warren Buffett goes on, I think it was 2020, and he's walking through his own office building, and he motions to the workers behind the desk. He says, percentage-wise, I pay less than this gal over here that's working for, you know, 10, 20, 12 bucks an hour. He says, that's just not fair. And the rest of the rich said, shut up, Warren. Whose side are you on, anyway, you know?
Well, fortunately, there are, you know, a cadre of others. It isn't just those three. There was a big email, whatever, that went out, was it with the last election, whatever it was, that was a whole bunch of rich people saying, tax us. We want you to tax us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why the average citizen doesn't support that? I don't know. I just don't get it.
Well
maybe it's because it's more important to have abortion illegal. And values are these? God,
you know,
weird, skewed values.
Yeah.
But this is why we need to rethink it. We need to rethink our value system.
Many years ago, I said, and I found out I wasn't the first to come up with this idea. They should just say, you know, average it out and say, here's a percentile. This is the if everyone paid this percentage of their wage, you know, we would have enough money in the pot to run the country. And the tax form would be very easy. You just say, how much did you make? What is, just for a number, what is 10% of that?
Yeah.
Send it in.
Yeah.
You know, but oh no, couldn't do that. That's. But anyway,
we're
getting off. Okay.
But these are the important issues, you know.
Right.
How big are the crop circles? How many countries? I mean, all that's kind of, you know, that's interesting. But the issues really are, we're living in such a really challenging world, and we're still sleepwalking through it somewhat. And you know, I really like, you know, trying to deal with that.
Well, you know, your last documentary, What on Earth? Let's talk about that for a minute. Where was this shot? What country?
Well, it was all shot in England, which is the heart of the phenomenon.
Right.
It is the hotbed, although it's been in 40 other countries, and we do a little montage in the movie, which, by the way, you can get on cropcirclemovie.com, real easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, that's the only way to see it, unless you're in various places where I show up, which includes, by the way, I have a huge booking coming up in Manhattan. In New York,
when?
April 22nd through 29th, it's the first time ever that a Crop Circle movie will get reviewed by the New York Times, which is a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be at a place called the Quad Cinema, a very great art house in Greenwich Village in New York.
Well,
but
listeners,
at any rate, at the moment, CropCircleMovie.com is really the broad, you know, for the broad public, the way you can get to see my DVD. If you go there, you'll see the trailer. That'll come up, so you get an idea of what the movie looks like.
Well, our listeners still have an opportunity to see you there. So,
you see my smiling face on that
see
thing
smiling.
Too. CropCircleMovie.com. I'm smiling at you, telling you why I made this movie. And
no, but you're going to be in. You say New York?
I will be in New York. If you've got listeners in New York, as I say, if you go to Quad Cinema, their website, QuadCinema.com. They've got me in the coming attractions, so you'll see. You can get the information about my run there, and then I'll do Q&As. We haven't got that scheduled yet, but I'll be doing a lot of Q&As for that.
Okay, very good. Okay,
that's a big deal for me, really, for the movie.
Why, sure.
You know, once the New York Times reviews you, you're in a whole different category. Whether,
I know
even
it.
If it's a bad review, it doesn't even matter. It's just that you're being paid attention to.
Yeah.
Seriously.
There's no bad publicity. There's just publicity.
You know? Well, for the New York Times, that is the primo thing to have happen to your film, that the New York Times will review it, and that's
right.
in the offing in this booking that I have. So,
right.
So this is good. So I know you asked me something. I kind of diverted you. What were you asking me?
I don't know. But let me take
you. You asked me about England. Where is it? Yeah.
Where is England?
the movie was shot in England.
It's across the pond, isn't it?
every summer, people come from all over the world who are the crop circle researchers, and they gather in England, and they write the books, they take the pictures, they do the lectures. They're on their soapboxes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of them.
Okay. I need to take just a moment to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, 89.3 FM on your radio, and WHFR.FM on your computer. And now let's hear from President Obama.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch, go to a park, or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and I'm David Twitchell. We're speaking with Suzanne Taylor. She is the director and producer of her latest documentary, What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And now, I thought Doug and Dave did all of the crop circles over there in England. Tell me about them.
The infamous Doug and Dave. Don't we do a cute thing in my movie about Doug and Dave? We have a whole sequence in there that's very amusing about the deception of Doug and Dave. And but interestingly enough, and the way this world is, there was huge interest in all over the world, actually, about this phenomenon, as well there should have been, until these two guys came along in 1991 and said, oh, we made them all. And
all
and
over the world.
And you still find people when, you know, me, I'm crop circles, so I crop circles, and say people say, oh, no, those things got made by those two guys in England. they even remember their names somehow, Doug and Dave, a lot of them do. And they say, no, that doesn't happen anymore. I say, no, it's wrong.
Well, I'm glad we can, you know, this show as well as others are bringing attention to the fact that, no, this is still going on. And I see, I follow ufology and all of this, of course, because, you know, I'm a MUFON investigator. But the thing is, I see new crop circles popping up all the time.
Oh, definitely. It's a robust phenomenon. We have our hoaxers. We have the copycats of Doug and Dave. We have to coexist with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're copying something real. They're copying something you can't account for that is anomalous. People really have been hoodwinked by a media that doesn't know what it's talking about.
Yeah.
And loves these kind of salacious, is that the right word, conflict ridden kind of things. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, we got hoaxers, good, that makes a good story.
Oh, yeah.
On the hoaxers as if somehow that's the story. No,
that's
not
right.
The story.
That's right. You know, I've noticed that with UFO sightings. Rarely mainstream media will come out with a UFO sighting unless they can explain it. Sometimes their explanations are pretty weak, pretty stupid, but if it was proven that it was, number one, a hoax, number two, a misidentification, now they'll tell the story because they can explain it. If they can't explain it, they're going to say, you know, boy, I'd look stupid if I told that one. Well, I tell you, guys, you look pretty stupid not telling.
Well, I think somebody in the movie, I think we've still got that line in the movie where John Mack, the great abduction guy, says that nobody likes to be fooled. You know, you don't want to, so, you know, better you be skeptical than go for this hook, line, and sinker and then discover, oh, you were misled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, that's a human predilection, so we're all human, too.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, but sooner or later, and once in a while. But that doesn't mean that, it's like 90% of the UFO sightings that are reported to MUFON are misidentifications. But that doesn't mean that there are not unknowns out there.
Really?
Now, whether they're extraterrestrial, don't know. But they're definitely unknowns. And when all else fails, when all the logical explanations fail, then the only thing left is the impossible, you know? Tell us.
Well, we come down to the point where you cannot explain some things away. And, you know, we've never identified the source of anything. These things are visiting us. We're not visiting them. So
right.
We can't penetrate beyond a certain level, but we certainly can establish that something inexplicable is going on. That's why I had that little tagline, Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And I said inside because I'm an insider. You're kind of coming into it with me. You're not looking as the most of the media product. You're kind of peering from the outside. Well, you're on the inside of it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a mystery. You can't solve it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't explain it away. Just like a lot, like 10% of whatever that percentage of the UFO stuff.
Right.
No, it does not explain away. Something's going on.
Yeah. Tell us how you can tell the difference between a genuine crop formation and a man-made one.
Well, the hoaxers, unfortunately, have gotten better at it over the years. It used to be that their geometry was so awful that the minute you looked at the pattern of crop circle, you could tell the ones that the hoaxers had made.
Mm.
But they've gotten good geometers. You can't do that anymore.
Mm.
And when people have walked in them, as tourists do, it's a big, you know, tourist attraction over there, it's hard to sometimes see with the naked eye the evidence. It isn't always all that clear, but there's a couple things. One is if you were able to take material into the laboratory, which has been done, that's the way they established that there was a for real phenomenon. They did very scientific protocol kind of experiments, taking the plants and the soil from inside crop circles into the lab, comparing them with the standing crop outside, the soil outside, and really, according to the rules of science, established the fact that these things could not be, and yet there they were. So that's the most definitive. These studies are very expensive. You certainly couldn't do them on every formation, but at least it established the fact that we had a real phenomenon here.
Yeah.
And then the most definitive thing when you're using your naked eye inside a circle is, you see people get down on their hands and knees all the time, the method of choice of making these things, that when the hoaxers do it, is with a board.
Mm-hmm.
That they stick their foot in. They have a rope that goes up to their hand that is coming up from both sides of a 3-foot-long board, and they've got their foot on the board, and they just keep walking. They keep advancing and stomping, they call it. So they go stomp, 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 stomp. They knock the crop down, and each time they knock it down, it's an artificial bend that they create, and it creates a crease mark. And so what you do is you get down on your hands and knees, and you see, do you see a set of white little marks? And we show you this in the movie, by the way. You can see it very clearly. A little set of white little ridges that go all across 3 foot long, and then you go up another couple feet. Oh, there's another set of them. Oh, there's another. So then you say, oh, these were knocked down by a board. You know, this is the mark of the hoaxer.
But in a genuine crop circle, what do you get? I mean, they're
oh,
not
you get
broken,
these things or bent in ways that plants don't bend. They bend at the nodal point. The shafts of plants are put together in sections, and their nodes hold the sections together.
Mm.
And in green crop, the nodes will just bend at a right angle. Even in brittle crop, it's just not possible. Things don't bend that way.
Mm.
And then as the crop gets dry, as it's ready to harvest, there's no more suppleness in it. And so what will happen is that they're presuming that it's something like microwave energy, that it is microwave energy, which is loose all over the planet, and somehow it's been harnessed. And this heat has been sent up through the shaft somehow, and it bends the green crop, and it blows holes in the nodes And we show you that in the movie also. It blows holes in the nodes of the dry crop. We call them blown nodes.
Wow. Is that the scientific term?
Yeah, very scientific. Blown nodes, right.
Blown nodes.
But you see it. You know, we show you the evidence in the film. And that's another thing you look for, to see if there are blown nodes or bent right-angle bends in crops, you know that you're in a genuine formation.
Okay.
But it doesn't. You can't always find that. Sometimes you just don't. They go down in other kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and again, we deal with this in the movie, very, very frequently electromagnetic things happen. Like you walk in and your battery is fully charged and you go to use your camera, no battery. Or your cell phone won't work inside the formation, and you hold it out over the edge of the formation, and your cell phone works, you know? Well, then you know you're in a genuine thing. People can't produce those kind of very strange changes in, you know, the reality of our universe. You know?
Yeah. I also understand that GPSs that will not work, they'll give you different above sea level. You know, you'd be going around the crop circle, and you say it's 100 feet above sea level. And then you go inside the crop circle, and the thing will go nuts 100 feet below sea level.
Well, all the electromagnetics get screwed up.
Yeah.
That is what happens. And then you say, oh, I know I'm in a real one. Yay!
Yeah, well, that's the way to tell it, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Also, what about microscopic metal balls? I heard that several years ago. Is that still going on?
Iron ball? The interesting thing about the iron stuff, they did a TV program where it was kids from MIT that were trying, the deal was replicate what, can they replicate, make something that passes muster as if it was real.
Right.
And one of the things was these iron filings. So what they did was they just scattered them all over. They had some machine do it, actually, which is kind of a joke. Nobody's taking machines into these circles.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference being that when you're in the genuine one, what's happening in the iron filing department is that there's as if it was going out in concentrated rings, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
So the concentration of the iron filings is closest if you're in a circular one. It's more heavily concentrated in the center of the circle, and then as you move out, you get, you know, less and less concentration of these things.
Right.
So again, but you need to be doing science on this stuff. This is not the kind of thing that the naked eye would be able to observe. But this is the kind of stuff that they do when they do the lab work on these things.
So the kids from MIT didn't do that hot of a job on duplicating one, huh?
Well, they did everything that the real ones do or have, but they did them in this kind of, you know, oh, look, see, there's iron all over. yeah, but it's not comparable to the way it is in the genuine ones. And it was the same thing for all the results they got. A lot of people have seen that program. I don't know if it was Discovery or National Geographic, one of those. And people will say, oh, I saw that thing with MIT. They made it. They made it. People can make them. Yeah, people can make. You know what it's like? I always think of when you go to the museum and the artist has got the easel up and he's copying a Rembrandt. Well, yeah, that can really look like a Rembrandt, but it's not a Rembrandt, you know?
Yeah, I saw that, and I had a lot of questions in it. They made an awful lot of noise, and there was an awful lot of light that was necessary. And, you know,
everything they did was some hokey facsimile.
Yeah, and, you know, in a genuine crop formation, the farmer would go to bed at night and wake up the next morning. I've heard of them within an hour. The guy went back to the house for lunch, comes back out, there it is.
Right. Well,
never heard a thing.
There have been eyewitness accounts going back to the 1940s, actually. They used to have a center for crop circle studies, and they would collect all these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to this point, roughly maybe there have been 40 eyewitness accounts, 35 maybe. And they all say the same thing. They say they go down in 6 or 7 seconds.
Right.
That, you know, it doesn't take even an hour. It doesn't take all night. It's 6 or 7 seconds. The whole thing, no matter how big it is, the whole thing just swishes down. We show you a little reproduction. We don't try to fool you. We're just showing you what it looks like in the film when the swishy process goes, you know, and the crop goes down. We've just, you know, dummied that up just to give you the idea.
Right. Well, I'd like to see that. Usually, musicians see musical compilations in these crop formations, and mathematicians see mathematical equations. And there's even some theory that some of these formations are giving us a blueprint of alien craft. Well, what is your theory on it?
Well, all of those things, you're speaking about things that, in fact, you know, there is information like that. Gerald Hawkins was the head of the astronomy department at Boston University. He did the work that established the fact that the ratios, you know, music is all ratios. I don't really know music, so don't ask me too many questions, but it is all mathematical at some level. You can reduce it to math.
Right.
And all the ratios in the crop circles conform to the diatonic scale, which is, I believe, all the white notes. There's a musical correlation that is, again, another kind of, whoa, look at this sort of intelligence that's encoded. Look at this information. They're not just pretty patterns. There's information encoded in these. And I think the point being that whatever is delivering them wants us to understand that an intelligent source is sending them to us. So it sends things loaded with information that's not accidental, that's not random, so that if we discover what they've delivered, we know that the source that's delivering them is intelligent. So music is one thing. That the ratios are the diatonic scale. What were the other two things you mentioned?
Mathematician.
Oh yeah. Well, that of course that's the big deal. Compelling, broad-reaching, significant aspect of this is the geometry in the circles. And again, Gerald Hawkins was our man who discerned there were five theorems, geometric theorems, that are not in Euclid, which is our geometry literature from way back.
Right.
And five new theorems are in our literature thanks to what he discovered in crop circles.
Really?
Yeah, really. They're very, very sophisticated geometry. And we show you, there's one wonderful website that analyzes the building of a crop circle geometrically. You start with a circle, you have your compass, you make another circle, you put your point down, you make more, you have a ruler, a straight edge, compass and straight edge. And the one that we show you in the film, there were 50 steps. We don't show you all 50 because you'd be there all night. But we give you the idea of how many steps it takes to develop these very, very complex designs that then it's as if when the design is in the field, it's as if a lot of those lines are erased. And how they do this, I don't know, but that's one of the great mysteries. How do they make these very complex geometric designs, and yet you don't see all the construction of all the geometry lines in it? But nonetheless, that is what's happening. And then what was the third thing that you mentioned?
Well, the music, the mathematicians, blueprints for
their
craft.
Yes, there was a book. Now, this is not the sort of basic crop circle information as those other two things are. But there was a book called The Gift, a man named Doug Ruby. I don't know who he is. That was the author of the book.
I read that.
And it's a gorgeous book. It's absolutely beautifully done. And his theory is that what is being delivered is indeed the design for a craft, for a UFO, a spacecraft, whatever,
right.
Of an advanced craft.
Their propulsion system.
Yeah, right. And that we were waiting for all the parts to come in, and that was just his theory. I never heard anybody else support it, and then I never heard any more from him after the book came out when we were waiting for more. So that has not, been any more than just a kind of a fleeting possibility in the grand scheme of things. Now, we wouldn't say it's not true. We just haven't had any corroboration of it or any follow-up on it.
Yeah.
But it sure is a nice book. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah. This guy showed the crop formations, and he took a phonograph. and put these different cardboard pieces on the spindle of the phonograph to match the crop formation, a given crop formation. And, you know, I interviewed David Sarita both on my TV show and on the radio show. And he talks about, have you ever heard of David Sarita?
I have. I'm trying to remember. Why do I know this name?
Okay, he did the NASA evidence for UFOs.
Yeah, I don't really know his work. I just
okay.
know his name.
He noticed in the water going down the drain that there was this spinning of water this way and then that way, clockwise and counterclockwise, and these little tornadoes of water as it's going down the drain were offset. And he noticed the same pattern in solar systems, same pattern in galaxies throughout the universe.
Kind of universal energy pattern.
Yeah, and I always say if you want to know the very large, study the very small. If you want to know the very small, study the very large. Because everything is a pattern in this universe. And so it all makes sense. And he claims to have an anti-gravity a device. But he doesn't have the money to put it into practical use. And also, if you take two very strong magnets and, put negative to negative where they repel, and hold them together. Now, this was experimented with, and drop them, the old off the Tower of Pisa deal.
Yeah, right.
Drop the stone and this magnet that has been, negative to negative. The stone will hit the ground first, which is, kind of the infancy of anti-gravity.
Oh, we're out of my field now.
Whoa. But I guess what I'm saying is maybe the crop formations, maybe this guy has a handle on it in that they are showing him this is the grand design of the universe. This is energy and propulsion systems that operate with ambient energy around us, all around us. Doesn't have anything to do with burning of fossil fuels.
So we're in this category probably of free energy.
Yeah, free
we're
energy.
We're all searching for, apparently.
Oh, that would upset our economy, wouldn't it?
Oh, you bet.
Too bad.
You bet.
Too bad. I think that people would... I think it would create jobs, really, for people in a new field, in a new field.
Well, the humanity, understandably, we're part of it, too, you and me, you and I are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We are resistant to fundamental change because we've got all our eggs in the basket that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people talk about the power structure doesn't want to lose power, and they're keeping everything the way it is. Well, I think to a certain extent that's true.
100%.
But the truth is, if the world revolutionized, everything changed, everything was chaotic, everybody's got 401ks, everybody's in the stock market,
right.
And it would really, it's scary to people.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't just the elite that are suppressing all this changeful kind of reality. I think, people by and large, it's why they buy a Doug and Dave. Oh, yeah, now I can relax. I know that's all taken care of. I don't have to think about consciousness, revolution, and the world turning upside down.
I don't have to change my paradigm. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard it many times. People say, even if UFOs are real, I don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, it is scary. It would change things in ways that we can't predict.
Right.
Although at this point we're in so much trouble that there's much more sort of willingness to have things change.
Give me anything.
But it's not that bad yet, It isn't that bad yet.
I need to take one more break to remind our listeners that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves here out of Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan. And I'm David Twitchell, and we are listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with actress, filmmaker, Suzanne Taylor.
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary. What else? What else? Tell me what else.
Well, what else is they should go to my website, CropCircleMovie.com, and have a look at the trailer. That is our seduction site, but you do see the trailer, and you know you get a real sense of the movie there. CropCircleMovie.com.
CropCircleMovie.com.
And you can get on my mailing list there too. I send out the most interesting things. I love doing my blog, which isn't the kind of thing I write in every day. I just put things on there when I find, you know, world-changing things, fascinating things.
Right.
And then I pass them along. So I invite everybody to, be regaled by my fascinating information that I send out.
It sounds very
interesting.
So
it's all on CropCircleMovie.com. You can do everything there.
Right. People have also seen, and I've seen videos now, whether they were done on computer generated or not, I don't know, but they show these bright white orbs floating over a crop circle. Also they've been reported to see the same type of orbs before and after and during the formation of a crop circle. What do you say about that?
Well, okay, here we're in the orb reality. Well, one thing is to show you an orb in our movie that's obviously not a bird or a butterfly or whatever skimming across a field. And as we tell you, the next day there was a crop circle in that field. And that is frequent would be too much to say, but occasional, that is what happens. People will see these orbs, and then indeed the next day there'll be a crop circle wherever they've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
What you've seen on television, on YouTube, which is widely circulated there, of a six or so orbs going around in a circle over a field, and all of a sudden a crop circle appears underneath, obviously in relation to those orbs circulating. Well, it took them a long time to get to the bottom of that. There are still a few holdouts who hold that has to be real, but the truth is, most everybody, it really has been ascertained that it was done in a lab. I shouldn't say really, since we have these holdouts that insist it had to be real, and they've got, it had to be because such and such and such and such. But those stories, it was done in a lab. It was very sad to discover that, because there was, when it first was introduced to the crop circle world, the day that it was created, they got really excited because, you know, it was quite a little sophisticated job in the lab, and people are innocent. We have a gathering place over there where this person brought his footage and showed everybody, and everybody, we finally have got it on camera, But then, of course, then you start examining. Well, what was the story here? Where'd you get that from? And how did it happen? And da da da.
Yeah.
And then they took it apart, and they dissected it, and they discovered this guy worked in a lab, and, the whole story just did not hold water.
We
are, by and large, presuming that that was a fake.
You're presuming that that was a fake?
You're presuming, just because a few people are still holding out and saying, no, it had to be real. I don't know. I don't know where they get there.
Because I know the one you're talking about, and I first saw this on the old sighting show.
Yeah.
And they gave it to a alleged computer
right.
They've, video
it's been put through a lot of tests.
Analyst. And he said, I can't see how they could have faked it, but I still think it's fake because the photographer didn't get excited enough. That was, it was a British guy, and he says, that was just too British.
That's funny. That would be British, right?
So
you know,
what?
It's been gone through several iterations of the story, and then the story on top of the story, and then more story and whatever. And finally, when they've added it all up, it really concludes that it was done in that lab.
Oh, okay.
Well, better than the part you only have part of the story. It went further than that.
Okay.
To the evidence of where the fact that it came from a lab.
But
we're very sorry about that. I mean, believe me. Everybody who loves the circles would love that footage to be real.
Really? It kind of explained what's going on, right?
Yeah. But no such luck.
But have you? Is there actual evidence that these white orbs actually hang around crop circles?
Well, there's definitely some kind of correlation, but whether they're instrumental in making them or not, and there are people who think so, sophisticated people, I don't see that the evidence corroborates that, although it may be true. But if you're going to look at the evidence, I don't see that the evidence corroborates the fact that they're instrumental in making them. Mm. But I would tell you that, yeah, there's some kind of correlation because, as I say, they're seen the day before they appear. So is it being scouted? And also, there is evidence that these orbs are not just skimming across fields, but they're under intelligent guidance. And I'll tell you one piece of footage that the footage isn't really clear enough to have put it in my movie. But I know the person who took it, and just hearing her tell me about it and then looking at the footage, I can see what it was. And what it was this orb was coming across. The video camera's on, and an orb is coming across horizontally. And there are some people walking toward the camera, which is positioned in a crop circle. Mm. And people are walking toward this crop circle. The orb is coming across and is about to hit them, would have hit them, except the orb stops.
Hmm.
The people keep walking. They don't see it.
Oh.
They keep walking. When they pass the place where the orb has stopped, the orb resumes and keeps going.
Hmm.
So something stopped that orb so it wouldn't hit those people. So, you know, pieces like that about which indicate that those orbs have intelligence.
Yeah.
Something is guiding them. Something, you know, knows what it's doing.
Right.
But in terms of what role they play in making crop circles, don't know that.
Mm.
Just some relation. They're in those fields, and there's, you know, something going on.
What's with the black helicopters that are seen around?
Well, you know, there's a huge military base right there, which is almost, you know, kind of a funny, we talk about it in the movie, a funny juxtaposition. I mean, this horrible, you know, war machine mm-hmm. is practicing right there where these wonderful reminders of the sacred reality of our lives. They're all, this area is full of sacred sites, and I think that's why the crop circles are there. They land right near sacred sites all the time, all over the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In America, they land near Indian burial grounds, if you think of that as sacred, but something, you know, that has a sort of a feel of ancient times when we felt ourselves to be part of nature and we were not so lost in materialism.
Mm.
I think that's part of the message of when the senders decided where to put these things. They put them in this ancient sacred territory. And, you know, it's very natural that the helicopters are there all the time. And, I mean, what are they doing? I don't know. They're looking at them. They're examining them. I don't know. Who knows? But it's not unnatural that they're there because this is a military base.
But maybe this is the other way around. In you say that sacred sites were built because of these UFO appearances, etc. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, they used to think that they were landing pads for UFOs. When I first discovered the circles in the late 80s, that's mm-hmm. how they were characterized. Oh, those are landing pads for UFOs. I don't know. More likely that, you know, you have ancient stone circles all over England. There's hundreds of them, thousands of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some possibility that the crop circles that go back way back, and they do,
mm-hmm.
were actually markers on which the stone circles were built because a lot of them have exactly the same proportions and whatever. There's some evidence that and we talk about that in the movie also,
mm-hmm.
that conceivably, you know, you're dealing in a territory that has this ancient sacred spiritual energy, if you will, and
mm.
you've got your stone circles, you've got your crop circles. I mean, it's a very magical land there.
Mm.
This whole area is really quite magical. Stonehenge is the most famous. Everybody knows about that. But you know, that's not the only thing. The area, you can hardly turn around without falling over something ancient, you know?
Right, right. But there are certain areas that you know, the ley lines in the earth, the magnetic attraction in the earth. I mean, it can show up on handheld devices. You know.
Well, yeah, the crop circle seems to cluster along these magnetic energy lines that run all across southern England. There's something called the Michael Line and the Mary Line, and they weave each other, running all across southern England. And in fact, where they cross, in various places. You've got very beautiful churches are built right on the cross marks there. You know, something was going on with the ancients knew how to read energy, and they
right.
respected it, and they, you know, they behaved accordingly. They built their things according to those kinds of things. We've kind of lost touch with all of that in our modern world, but I think maybe the circles are there to remind us, and I think they certainly are there to tell us that we're not alone, which, you know, would be, people say, well, you know, so what about the circles? Well, so what is that if we're not alone, you know, we do have to rethink everything, and I think that they're sending us all this intelligence so that we finally wake up to the fact that we have other intelligence in the universe. And it's a very sweet and gentle, non-invasive, non-disruptive, artful, beautiful kind of way to inform us that we are not alone. So,
but
you know, you have to really kind of hats off to the loveliness that is engaging with
yeah.
us.
But the skeptic who's listening to this right now is going to say, well, because of the magnetic anomalies, maybe it's the magnetic anomalies in the Earth that is causing these crop formations. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, when you get right down to it, what the evidence would point to the fact that something embodied is delivering them. You know, people say nature makes them, whatever, or they come from the future. Well, all of those are nice abstractions, but how are they being created? Well, they're carefully designed, they're carefully placed, and that has all the elements of something like us that are in bodies that can function, that can do designs, and that can make decisions, you know?
Right.
Are they placing them where there are magnetic energy lines? Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah.
But something's doing that. It's not happening by virtue of the fact that you have those magnetic forces. Some intelligence that's outside of that is using those things. I mean, sometimes they talk about them being on acupuncture points of the Earth and that they're healing us, that they're sending out a good energy to us. That's speculation. Okay with me. I don't know. I don't know how you would corroborate that, but I like that idea.
Yeah. And isn't it true that the soil and plants around an animal mutilation have similar anomalies, has similar anomalous properties as that of a crop formation?
Well, you know, that is not my expertise. Those things are always bizarre, aren't they? What is that all about?
Yeah, really.
What? And I know it's happening, and I've actually talked, just not because I'm a crop circle person, just because I'm a person, and I've had people who owned farms and on which these things occurred, and, you know, they've told me it's the weirdest thing. I mean, there's no blood, there's no evidence, there's no nothing but these surgical removals of these organs. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? But, you know, you're in the parallel field now to me, and I don't really know anything about that.
Well, the common denominator there is that the fact that around the corpse of this excised animal, or mutilated animal, however you want to call it, you find the same anomalies in the soil and in the plants as you do in the crop formation.
Well, you're telling me something then. I actually don't know that. I always like thinking about them, though, and really, because the circles are so beautiful and benign and lovely, and there's nothing, it's art, it's not, you know, horror.
Yeah,
like thinking about those mutilations, but who knows, you know? I mean, the reason the UFO people like the crop circles, and they do, and they have me at their events and what have you, is because it's all about, you know, we're not doing it.
Right.
And, so, you know, that's the common denominator, and, you know, that's the important information. But I don't know. Those cattle things are strange.
Do you think the government is, our government or any military or government, is interested, has an interest in the crop formations? Any indication that that's true?
Well, there's something we don't talk about in the film, which is that famous Robertson panel from 1952, where the government convened a panel to deal with all the sightings that were going on and what was the official policy.
Mm.
And, you know, there are different branches of the government. We talk about black ops. They really know what's going on. Well, this panel didn't know what was going on, and they had to make some policy about what to do about the reports. And the you can read it online now. It was classified for a long time, but Wikipedia has a page now, the Robertson panel. Mm. And their conclusion was, we don't know what it is. If we say that to the public, they'll be scared. Mm-hmm. They'll be panicky. We don't want that to happen, so we're just going to ridicule it. And every opportunity, go on talk shows, whenever we're asked, whatever, we ridicule it. And that's been official policy. Now, are they interested beyond that? I don't know. I don't know if they pay attention or not. We have no evidence. I have no idea. But they've marginalized it, that's for sure. And you see in the film in England how Doug and Dave got a little number done on them by the Department of Defense over there. They've taken attention away. Mm. For whatever reason, they don't want attention on all these things. And that may be power structure issues, too dangerous. You know, too threatening to the status quo.
It would seem that the government would be very anxious to say, yeah, it was Doug and Dave. That's who it was.
Yeah, well, that is what the government did in England. Yeah. I mean, can you picture a press release from two little farmers in the middle of nowhere getting in front pages all over the world, which is what happened when Doug and Dave came out with their announcement? Press release? Come on. So we show you the Department of Defense had a hand in that.
Yeah, okay. And it's whatonearththemovie.com. People can see the trailer there.
CropCircleMovie.com.
CropCircleMovie.com.
Yeah.
Suzanne Taylor, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, it's an endless topic, so you just have me back and we'll talk some more.
Okay. Yeah. Got a lot of questions. So thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all of the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. And click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, ufoimplications.com. Stay tuned to WHFR.FM, the station making waves for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
WHFR for the 2011 Radiothon Kickoff Party featuring the sounds of DJ Stoppy, The Wilds, DJ Roach, Andrew Kea, DJ Mean D, and John Marius of Myth Records. Happening Saturday, April 9th from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. This electronic music benefit for WHFR will take place at Bailey's in the basement lounge. A $5 donation gets you in the door. 21 and older, please. Bailey's is located at 2209 Michigan Avenue, right in downtown West Dearborn. Special thanks to Commotion Designs, Latin Image Entertainment, AV Entertainment, and Bailey's of Dearborn for making this night possible. Once again, it's the 2011 Radiothon Kickoff Party, an electronic music benefit for WHFR happening.